Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday, the 4th of May, 2020. Happy Star Wars Day to all of you. If you don't know what that means, it's because you get to say all day to people, may the 4th be with you. So, hello and welcome to Star Wars Day. With me, I have two fantastic guests to talk about the news of the day. I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I'm actually really excited for my Star Wars Day celebrations later.
As you should be. Watching The Empire Strikes Back is always a great way to celebrate anything in my book.
I'll tell you once I've done it for the first time.
Well, the sorts of things I like to celebrate with it are it's Wednesday, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, the trigger point for me to sit down and put The Empire Strikes Back on is pretty, pretty low. Probably slightly higher for my other guest, Mr. John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, this is the show I was looking for.
I'm glad you found it.
Me too.
So the thing we have to discuss today is Apple dropped new MacBook Pros on us. New 13-inch MacBook Pros. Honestly, the big thing that I think a lot of people were probably waiting for, I know I was one of these people, because I'm on the verge of being in the market for a new machine, and part of what was preventing that from happening was because they still had that terrible keyboard in them. Mm-hmm. Terrible comes, of course, with the asterisk that John himself has no issue with this keyboard. It drives me straight up a wall. But
so John is the only human being ever in the world to have said that.
This is true. And we do have it on tape. I absolutely... Yes, on tape, John. I absolutely do not like that keyboard, so I'm glad that there's at least a new one. It's the same as the 16-inch, if my math is correct. And that one is more pleasant to type on. I still don't like it as well as... it would be third place, I guess, in my ranking of Apple laptop keyboards. But anyway, I have strong feelings about keyboards. We've discussed this. So, Charlotte, take us through some of the specs, because you wrote a piece breaking down a little bit more about what we're actually getting in these new machines.
Yeah, so for all the coverage of this new MacBook Pro 13-inch, check out the story Andrew did, first of all, and then one that I did as well. Between us, we've kind of gone through everything you need to know, I think, whether it's the kind of new, faster storage or... which is a good, you know, again, something people will like, or indeed the new keyboard. The butterfly keyboard is dead.
Finally.
Gone. I don't think that many people are going to miss it. Apple describes this keyboard on this device as a redesigned scissor mechanism. Mm-hmm. And with a new inverted T arrangement of the arrow keys.
Yes.
And there's also a physical escape key. All these things are good things.
Yes.
What slightly confuses me is that it appears almost exactly the same as the pretty old white magic keyboard with that you put batteries in that I'm still using very happily. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
I used the previous iteration of the magic. You have the ramp, right? The ramp magic keyboard. Yeah. Yeah. And then I have the barrel magic keyboard that I still use with my iPad. I don't mind it a bit.
No, I'm barely.
All right. I thought you got a new one with the machine. Yeah, I have no issue with that keyboard. I've had it for a really long time.
It's a lovely keyboard. One other thing they've added to it is the 13-inch MacBook Pro now has Touch ID, which is really nice. So
it's
you
very,
can
very nice.
Use a password manager, people. Mm-hmm. And you just have to touch on it, just like on your iPad or a new iPhone SE, perhaps. It also means you can make Apple Pay payments using that with Touch ID. All very nice stuff. Mm-hmm. Other nice things, you can choose a 32-gigabyte memory option.
Yeah.
That's on the $1,800 model. Mm-hmm. That's an add-on, so it takes you to kind of $2,200 if you want to do that, but still, mm-hmm. very good option. It's powerful enough now to support a 6K display.
All right.
Many nice things that I'm sure people will like. There's one thing, well, there's a couple of things I'm unsure about. Mostly it looks like a pretty, you know, the MacBook Pro is a good laptop. This is a further variation on a good laptop. Cool.
Yes. That's the most important thing is that it's continuing to be updated here and there. You know, we don't need a redesign every year or anything like that. You know, if you've got a good thing going, like, stick with that. So
it's a good thing they've souped up the insides a bit so it can keep doing all the good things. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. One thing that is not a good thing, though.
There had to be one.
It seems there had to be one. The one thing that is not, seems totally bizarre to me, I cannot get my head around it. This so-called pro device still has a 720p camera in it, which we think is 15 frames a second. They call it a FaceTime camera. This is bizarre to me, right? My iPhone XR, XR,
thank you.
You can record 4K video, I'm fairly sure, on a XR, if you look at the specs.
Mm-hmm. On the up-facing camera or the FaceTime camera?
Fair. But you can. It's not. I'm not directly comparing apples with oranges, but you should still have a better camera on a pro device.
There is a key difference here.
No.
So on the phone, you're recording video externally and you want to have 4K, but on a FaceTime camera, where you're up close to it, I propose that there is a reason why Apple's doing that. And during the break, before the show started, I thought, what could that reason be? And I'm positing that it could be related to the retina effect. In other words, a 1080p camera would not gain you any more resolution at the distances a FaceTime camera user uses a MacBook. And so why spend the extra money when the resolution is lost?
I mean, you could flip that on its head and say, I mean, why are you still producing 720p cameras?
Well, like, here's the question I have. Charlotte, I went and looked up the iPhone XR, it refers to the TrueDepth camera, which is the one that's used for Face ID. So this is the front-facing camera. And it says that it will do 1080p HD video recording at 30 or 60 frames per second.
Correct.
So if you can get A, 1080p, B, 30 frames per second out of a TrueDepth camera, I understand that that's more camera than the typical FaceTime camera, but there's still a very good opportunity to at least bring it up. If it's the camera we think it is, it's a 720p camera at 15 frames per second. So couldn't we at least get it up to 30? And 720p, like, if you're not worried about being, you know, John, like you were saying, if you're never going to be more than an arm's length away, I can see why maybe you may not think that there would be a difference. But an iPhone XR, a phone from is it last year, is capable of doing more with the selfie cam.
That's
to me is a thing that I'm curious about. I mean, yes, I don't expect people are going to generally be any sort of great distance from a laptop. I mean, that's why you have a laptop. You know, because you're going to sit and, you know, type on the keyboard attached to the screen. And if you're doing that, you're not going to be far enough away for, you know, the 1080p necessarily to make a real difference. But if you've got that camera and it's out there and it does what you need, then, like, why are we sticking with this camera? That would be my question. And if it's really a question of, like, the display is this thin and we can't put another, what is it, 260p in there because then the lid would be thicker. Okay.
Also,
I love the way you say that, Kelly.
It doesn't actually, I don't want to get too hung up on one thing, but it did stick out to me as being a bit weird. Mm-hmm. Because John's making a reasonable point about how people use a selfie-facing, you know, a FaceTime-type camera. And as I say in my piece, there's absolutely no reason you cannot buy, if you're the type of person that needs to record 4K directly to a MacBook Pro, there's no reason you can't buy for pretty decent money a 4K camera,
right,
that you plug in. That's all fine, and yet plenty of people for all different things it's not just about FaceTime and video conferencing. People do shoot little videos and things with the camera on their laptop.
Yes.
Some of those things could be improved by a 1080p camera.
Mm-hmm. It's a pro model and you would expect pro level equipment.
Right. Quite it so. Says pro, right? Right on the, right on the lid.
Last time I checked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the bit I can't understand.
All I'm trying to say is there's maybe a reason why Apple's doing it. And it's sure. not just because they want to cheat us or because they're being stupid.
Right. Now, one thing I do...
Can I just go yes. back to the point about the 10R? If yes. you look at the video recording section of the 10R... On its spec, the tech specs, mm-hmm. it says 4K video recording at 24 frames a second, 30 frames a second, or 60 frames a second.
And is that the front of the true depth camera or the back camera?
It will be the back camera. Okay. It won't be the first. It won't be right. the selfie camera.
Okay.
But the point is, you can shoot on a iPhone that's how many years old now? Like. A generation previously, at least, yeah. mm-hmm. you can shoot 4K video.
Charlotte, you're not going to hold your iPad in a reverse mode and shoot external video.
I'm not talking about iPad. I'm talking about a phone. 10R.
Yeah, what I'm saying 10R. Is you're not going to take your MacBook Pro and turn it around and shoot professional video externally.
Totally.
You're only going to use it for
no,
up close.
No, but people shoot professional video like sitting at a desk or, you know, the scene in
exactly.
the room that they're
That's
in.
My That's my point.
Yeah, there's a lot of uses for that camera that aren't necessarily video meetings. One thing I do want to talk about here is, as a person who has purchased a fair number of MacBooks Pro in my life, this to me feels like a sale, because the new version, to get the entry level machine, it's a 1.4 gigahertz quad core processor, 256 gigabytes of storage. It's got 8 gig of RAM. I will say it's got 8 gig of RAM. Is $1,299 for a MacBook Pro.
You should note that that's an 8th generation processor, whereas the two high level models right. have 10th generation Comet Lake processors.
Well, that's
so
a
aware of that.
We're not that far yet, but if you want to get into a new machine, you know, if you're somebody like me, like my current machine, the reason, like, I mean, it still holds up, but it's just starting to show its age a little bit. So it's early 2015 MacBook Pro, and it's been great. And I usually don't buy the entry level one. I usually buy the next one up. So in this case, that would be $1,500 to get half a terabyte of storage, and it's still 8 gig of RAM. So I would probably up that to 16 just because I don't trade my machine in every couple of years. So when you do, like, it's still, you can walk into one of the, you can walk out with one of these at $1,300, and there's a very good chance it's going to be much more machine than the one that you have now. Obviously, you can get deals on this because they do say right at the top of the page that they're taking trade-ins for this.
And there's also, it's worth noting, Andrew highlighted this, I believe there's education pricing as well.
There is. Education pricing is $1,199 on the entry level. So we have four kind of stock models. We've got $1,299 and $1,499. As John said, those are the 8th generation processors. The 10th generation processor comes in the $1,799 and $1,999 model. And I remember there being a point where it was at least $1,799 to get into a MacBook Pro. If that's what you wanted, you were in the neighborhood of $2,000 for your computer. I remember that, and it was not that long ago, entry level. So
I'm trying to think what my first MacBook Pro must have cost. Kind of,
yeah,
12, 10, no, well, yeah, God, goodness knows, whenever I started university, maybe 14 years ago now. Oh my God. Anyway, let's not have that panic on air, but
save it for later. I'll have it with you. It'll be fine.
Right, fine. But no, the point is, they've gone from being very kind of out of touch devices for lots of people mm-hmm. to being pretty competitively priced for the amount of computer they're packing.
Yes. And that's,
I agree
there's
with
a,
that.
There's a whole lot of appeal to this, and it's gotten more affordable over time, and is much closer to MacBook Air in pricing than they used to be, even, you know, when the MacBook Air was released. So I'm kind of excited about this. But John, I would like to know the difference between the 8th gen and the 10th gen processor, since I'm now a person who has a far more vested interest in this than I did last time we had this conversation.
Suddenly the name of the 8th generation escapes me.
That's okay. You can just call it the eighth generation, and that's fine. Is it just the evolution of the processor? Like, it's a little faster, it's a little bit better at power management, or is there something specific to it that makes me that would make me want the 10th gen instead.
So did Andrew refer to Comet Lake right. in his write-up? That's the 10th generation.
That's
though,
10.
It?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't keep all the lakes straight, so I'm not the person to ask on this.
I'm suddenly not remembering the name of the 8th gen series. Sorry.
That's okay.
When the 8th generation has been around a long time. And the bottom line is that if you can afford the Comet Lake, I would go for it.
Okay.
It's a 10 nanometer process. It's faster. And it's going to be probably a wiser idea to go with a faster Comet Lake than to sit with an older 8th generation system. But if you're in an economical frame of mind and you have to penny pinch, mm-hmm. it's fine.
Okay. That was kind of my question, was if there was anything in particular about these different chips that might make it compelling in one way or another.
Coffee Lake? Refresh. Okay. Yeah.
Refresh. Okay. That was my question. I was going to say Coffee Lake because that's the only one I can remember, because we've talked about them using that chip forever and ever instead of moving to something new. So
yeah, that's a 3-year-old chip at least.
Okay. So if you're looking to get a bigger deal upgrade, then you're looking at the $1,800 MacBook Pro. That comes with a 512 SSD in it and 16 gig of RAM. That's the stock configuration for Thunderbolt 3 ports. So if you still need all those ports, that's where you get them, is in the $1,800 mm-hmm. model. So I also thought this was sort of interesting because there's 4 of them, and I seem to remember it used to come in good, better, best flavors. Am I remembering that right, John? There kind of used to be three main... There used to be 3 models when they would put something out. There'd be 3 stock configurations instead of 4.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Like I said, it's been a long time since I shopped for a computer.
I'm really excited about this new machine. I have an old MacBook from 2015, and I'm ready to retire it. And I think this 13-inch MacBook Pro is a perfect machine to replace my old MacBook.
Okay.
It's got everything I want. It's modern.
Which one?
I mean, it's going to be a serious upgrade.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, I'll get 32 gig of RAM, and I'll get 512 SSD, and I'll get the Comet Lake.
Okay, so you're starting at $1,800.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can actually. It's worth while John's talking about the different configurations. You can actually get up to 4 terabyte SSD in this.
Wow. Heaven knows what that would cost.
Heaven doesn't know. Yeah.
There's
$1,200 extra surcharge.
Okay.
Right. So on a couple of the models will let you go up to 4 terabytes. Whether your bank manager does is a different question, but
this is a valid question.
To question the wisdom of putting a 4 terabyte SSD in a notebook computer.
Yes.
Because it's a very mobile machine, and you're not that people are that mobile anymore working out of the house, but in general, a machine that's designed to be mobile shouldn't have so much storage on it that it's a pain to back it up. And putting 4 terabytes in there is just tempting the user to put more data on there than they can practically and reliably and memorably back up.
But allow me to point out, we've complained about the skimpy storage on everything Apple sells for many, many years.
I was thinking exactly the same.
And yes, it costs you a whole nother laptop to get that storage, but at least it's an option. If there were some compelling reason and somebody was going to do something with it, like at least the option is available. Because remember, and they start at 256, which, it was 128 for a really long time. And I'm glad to see that they've at least gotten up to phone storage capacities. So, props to them for that.
Yeah, I don't think many people are going to be getting a 4 terabyte SSD into their MacBook Pro.
If you're one of those people, observations at MacObserver.com. We're desperate to know why.
And, if you want to buy a second one, hi.
yes, again, observations at MacObserver.com. We will arrange shipping for you.
yeah. But the point is, it does seem noticeable to me that Apple is offering quite a few variations on a theme here.
Mm-hmm.
It is giving users quite a bit of choice and flexibility, which I imagine a good number of people will appreciate.
You know what I noticed about that machine, Charlotte, as you say, there doesn't seem to be any compromises.
Mm-mm.
I remember in the past, there was always some agonizing decision you had to make. Do I go with this or do I go with that?
Mm-hmm.
John.
And there always seems some limitation or some difficulty that annoyed you. This machine, you can start anywhere you want. You can go anywhere you want to go. You can load it up. It's got a great keyboard. It's got the hardware escape key. It's got lots of options for memory and storage.
I don't see any downside.
Well, aside from that, I don't see any agonizing decisions like we used to have to make in the past.
Yeah.
You can, for sure, create the MacBook Pro you really want with mm-hmm. these variations. I absolutely agree with that. It kind of makes it weirder to me why they would leave. Is this a thing that I'm noticing a lot with Apple? You can tell me I'm wrong. There's so many, they often release products mm-hmm. where there's loads of really wonderful elements and all the things that kind of make it really user-friendly are there. Mm-hmm. And then there's one naggy little niggly thing that they could have fixed,
yes.
but is still just there.
I know the 16-inch also has a 720p.
Correct.
Yep.
What? Why?
I would really like to know this.
It's not like they're trying to strong arm you. I mean, if you really wanted a 1080p or a 4K FaceTime camera, Apple would say, "Well, buy the 16-inch model, spend $1,000 more."
Yeah.
No. Nope,
yeah.
Not happening.
But that's still not it.
I think the thing I think I resent and I think is a bit misleading is reference to it being a FaceTime camera, because I think that under you. Not to repeat the conversation we had earlier, but I do think that underuses and underplays what people make do with their laptop camera.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I do...
Or could do with a laptop camera if there was a proper camera in it.
That too. The thing that I noticed about this was the amount of availability, because we know that these are just the stock configurations, which means you just... click on pick up and you get it. By the way, the two entry-level models, I'm looking right here at the page, are available. They will be delivered May 7th or May 8th. The higher-end configurations are at May 14th to 18th if you pay. The free delivery gets it to you May 18th to 20th, which is pretty soon. So if you are one of those people, let us know. If you, like me, are in the market for a new laptop and kind of excited about this, let us know. Observations@MacObserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Thank you both so much for being here today. I really appreciate it, Charlotte. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Yes, we've had lots of exciting new shiny things to talk about in recent days.
John Martellaro, thank you as always.
Be here. And as Kelly said, if you're planning to put 4 terabyte in one of these machines, let us know. We want to hear from you.
We very much want to hear from
you. Why?
I'm very interested in that use case. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. Let's be careful out there.